Welcome to the Run for God Run Club, where you will find God in a runner's space.
Welcome to the Run for God Run Club. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. We are once again coming to you from the Upwards Sports Studio. I am your running host, Dean Thompson. Well, have you ever run into someone who needed some encouragement? Well, Jerry Snyder did, and you're going to want to hear what he did about it. And then I'll share my experience of living below the gnat line and what it has to do with running and faith. And joining me for those stories and much more is Run for God founder Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean. So speaking of gnats, have you been hearing the cicadas?
I haven't even paid any
attention.
They're
starting to get louder and louder. But you know, it's kind of like they say biblical proportions this year. Have you heard that?
I have heard that,
It's because the two different breeds of cicadas are all hatching or whatever this summer.
Yeah.
And so I've been starting to see them laying dead on the ground. I haven't really heard them a lot. I heard them last night because I was really listening for them. But they say it's going to be deafening here in another month or so. So
well, when they get bad, they get pretty bad. So if it's going to be worse than
normal. I kind of like it. I mean, it's kind of cool to experience that.
It is interesting.
But, below the gnat line.
Of course, you know, they've got to get fairly loud before I recognize. I've got real bad ringing in my ears. And so...
Well, if you listen to the news, they claim it's going to be 10 decibels, which is like a lawnmower.
Yeah.
I think that's right. They said it's going to be equivalent to a lawnmower.
That's pretty loud.
So is, I don't know if 10 decibels is right. That may be low.
That doesn't sound
but it was enough. But it was the lawnmower that caught my ear. I was like, if it's that loud, that's going to be, be annoying.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I like different stuff like that. I like those things that come up every once in a while. Yeah. You know, like the clicks and the, you know, all these things I just think are interesting to pay attention to.
So you got a little race coming up.
Yeah, this is the last podcast that'll come out before I run that 100 miler.
How are you feeling?
Terrible, but thanks for asking. I went to...
Well, you were just talking to Lane before we came on air and saying, you know, before you ran your... 2:39 marathon that time, you felt terrible the week before that.
It's true.
You know.
It is true. Look, I have every... Here's the thing. When people hear me talking negatively, I know that we talk a lot about thinking and talking positively. And you hear me talking negatively, you think, well, why aren't you talking positively? Mm-hmm. Well, in my mind, inside, I am.
Sure.
I am completely open to whatever the experience is.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of... I guess it takes a lot of experience to get to the point where you... You can say one thing, but in your mind be thinking something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah, usually it's the opposite, though.
Right.
Usually people are talking good, knowing in their head, man, I'm not ready for
this.
Right,
right. Yeah. When in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know what? I could kill this thing.
You've got the miles.
I could knock it out of the park.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I think you're going to.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, let's get to our post of the week. It comes from Melissa Rotarius, and she said, is everyone ready? I am. To be completely transparent, getting 10,000 steps a day consistently is going to be very challenging for me. I believe with the correct mindset, having a plan in place, and leaning into His love for me, I can be successful. I really need to have more consistency in my commitments/goals and move on when things don't go as planned. Loved the Dean's thoughts on this week's podcast. So good. I have been wanting to do this for a while, but have been afraid of failing and then giving up. This group is tremendously helpful, and I need to learn to lean into all you all's support. Thanks in advance. And then she follows with Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Man, I love that. I love that scripture verse.
I do too. We don't talk about that one enough.
Yeah, I think I don't know what version. The version I know of is no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of righteousness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so true.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about doing hard things on here all the time. And in a society where we're trying to get easier and easier, doing hard things is always good for you. So kudos to Melissa for getting out there and getting. I mean, 10,000 steps a day, That's hard. I mean, that is hard for people to do. That's hard for any of us to do. So right. Kudos to you, Melissa. I've been seeing the calendars going around on the Facebook group where people are doing this as this month's challenge. So to everyone out there who are doing the 10,000 steps a day right now, keep it up. I mean, if you got to get out at 9 o'clock at night, get out at 9 o'clock at night.
Do what
because
it takes.
You always no time at no point do we do something hard. And we get done and we're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
That's right.
We always feel good about it.
That's right.
So
that's
keep
right.
it up, Melissa. Yep.
And you can do it. You know, Debbie, she does her 10,000 steps a day. She'll sure. do it in the hallway yeah. in the house if she has to.
Whatever it takes. I asked yep. her about it the other day when I saw her. She's like, yep, I do whatever it takes.
Yep. Yep. And it's pretty inspiring for me. For somebody, I don't get in 10,000 steps every
yeah.
day. And
yeah.
I run 70 miles yeah. a week. So it's pretty impressive. And you know, how many of us have not tried something because we were afraid of failing, mm-hmm. right? We've all had that thing that we were just afraid to try because we were just afraid we weren't going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And here she is just being completely transparent and saying, I know I'm going to have a tough time with this, but she realizes there's this resource out there to help mm-hmm. her with it. And that's called Run Club mm-hmm. that can help motivate her to keep her going. And we all sometimes don't ask for help enough.
Sure.
And what she's doing is she's reaching out and saying, I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
And they will help. So.
And what do we know about fear? It's a liar.
That's right.
It always
right.
is.
Yep, yep, yep. It's funny, too, she talks about the Dean's Thoughts thing here.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I write those, sometimes I get through with them and I think, oh, man, that one just wasn't very good. You know, and then so inevitably the ones that I feel like, I don't know that one was really good. I get some comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's why your story is so important, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we think our story isn't going to touch somebody, but just like in this case where yeah. she thought that was a great post and I was like, that one wasn't one of my better ones, but she thought so.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Our trivia question for last week was a little bit different because we asked a question that the answer was given within the podcast. And the question was, what is the world record for running a mile while juggling, which is also called joggling? And of course, as we said last week, the record is 4 minutes and 35 seconds, which still, the more I think about it, the more I think, golly, that is really,
it's insane.
Really amazing.
It's insane.
Yeah. And we gave records for a lot of the other divisions or distances. There's no reason to go back and rehash all of that stuff that we talked about last week. But if you weren't listening last week, again, it's called joggling, and they have a national championship every year where there's a group of people who do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I've never seen anybody doing it. I guess it's a lot like wheelchair racing, though. You know, those wheelchair racers, they get out there and they train every day, but mm-hmm. I don't ever see anybody training in sure. a wheelchair.
Sure.
But you know they're out there.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a little bit like that. There have been a lot of weird things done while running. You know, one of the things that you see people dress up when they run.
Yeah.
The guy at the Memorial Day race in Chattanooga dresses up as a hot dog every year. And he's pretty fast.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not sure that I haven't been beaten by the hot dog. I mean, he's pretty quick. And he'll wear so. I guess there's a lot of fun in that. I'm not opposed to those kinds of crazy things. It seems like good, clean fun. You ever done anything like that?
No, but you know, if you, I don't know, you weren't with us when we did the first My Hope America race, were you? The one up at Cahulla Creek?
Yeah.
You were? Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You remember we had Sticky run that race and Sticky won
yeah.
that race.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
that's right.
Of course, yeah. nobody knows who Sticky is. But Sticky's pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes Sticky's slow. Sometimes Sticky's very fast. So it's I'd like to do that again. Maybe this race that we're kind of planning that nobody knows about right now.
Yeah.
Maybe Sticky will run one of those races.
Yeah, that would be fun.
So stay tuned. If that piqued your interest, what I just said, we do have some things that we're planning right now that are pretty exciting. So
yeah,
stay
sure.
tuned.
For sure. Well, you know, the one race that's kind of a novelty thing that I've always wanted to do is the Krispy Kreme race. You know, there's this yeah. race. I think it's in Charlotte.
See, I like Krispy Kremes too much.
Yeah.
And I think after that race, you wouldn't like Krispy Kreme.
You may be right. You may completely be right. I think, though.
So maybe I do need to do that race. So I won't like them as much.
Well, I think the way that race runs, it's like a 5 mile race and you run like 2.5 miles and then you eat a whole box mm-hmm. of Krispy Kreme donuts and then you finish. And apparently they're like buckets along the sides of the road on your way back in. But you know what? I think I could do fairly well at that race. I don't know that, but I think I could.
We still need to look into the world record for the Rubik's Cube 400. I still think we need to do that.
Yeah.
Figure out how to do that, because I think Lane could pull that off.
I think so, too.
Because he can still solve a Rubik's Cube really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he could still run a fast 400. Yeah. So, I don't know.
It'd be fun to try it.
We'll try.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, we're back, and we were just talking about with Melissa's post about submitting your story, and we're still waiting for stories. I've got several people who have promised me their stories that I haven't seen yet. I got an email from somebody that I was just checking this morning that talked about how she just ran her first half marathon, and she's going to submit her story for that. So,
cool.
So we're looking forward to those stories, but we need yours because we want to share it. We want to share it. It's going to touch somebody. So. Share those things. Well, I'll tell you what, the London Marathon, they've got it going on. This year,
this is hard to believe.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
They received 850,000 entries to the London Marathon this year. The record for the number of starters they actually have is 50,000 that they accept. And so 850,000 for 50,000 spots. Now, you can do two things. They have a lottery, and there's 17,000 places that are admitted in through this lottery. But here's what they do. You can submit for free your entry, and then you pay your entry after you're accepted, if you get accepted. Or you can pay up front, and you get double the number of chances to be entered. But if you don't get chosen, you don't get your money back. So, and it goes to a charity. So it's not a bad thing.
Sure,
it goes to a charity. You know that going in up front. But man, I can't. That's a lot of charity money they raise for just from entries. Yeah. I wonder what the percentage of people who register for free versus sending in their money. If you want to support the charity and you don't care and you'd just soon give money to the charity, that's great. But if not, from a financial standpoint, that you're not improving your chances enough to.
Yeah, you wonder how much of that is kind of hype, you know, the 850,000, because I mean it's kind of like the, you know, when they released the Tesla Cybertruck, you could get on the waiting list for one for $100.
Yeah.
And so, but you don't get that $100 back.
Yeah.
And, but you're not obligated. But what that did is allowed Elon Musk to go out and say, we have how many ever hundreds of thousands pre-ordered?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of those people are act? Because I know a guy that did it.
Yeah.
And he has no intentions. He just wanted to be able to say, I've got a Cybertruck on order. But he has no plans.
That's funny.
About it. It's Ellie High.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, it's a cool idea. But 850,000, however they did it.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They've got to be doing something right.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, here in the state of Georgia, in the United States, at the Peachtree Road Race, I got an email just last week, I think it was, because there's still spots open in the Peachtree Road
Race.
Which
is unheard of.
Right. You remember that there was a time when we were sending in entries overnight.
You had to get the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Yep.
There was no other way to enter.
That's right.
You had to cut it out.
Yep.
Because that was my very first race I ever did, and I did it this way.
Yeah.
Cut it out, fill it out, mail it in with your check, and you either, the check either got cashed or it got mailed back to you.
Yep.
Which I kind of, that would be cool if they still did it that way. You know,
yeah, kinda, I think so too.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, they're still spot. Now, there's, I mean, it is, there are 60,000 people in the race. So it is a huge, huge race. It's the biggest 10K in the world. But the Peachtree Road Race has kind of, I don't know if it's lost its luster or if people are, I don't know why the interest is down. But it's not all races, obviously, because the London Marathon interest is way up. So,
well, I think it's, you know, we've dealt with this. I think it's simply because, you know, 20 years ago, there weren't that many races. Well, now I keep saying, because I used to be the chairman of our local RPAC here in Dalton, which is the realtors organization. And I say races today are the golf tournaments of 20 years ago. It's a great fundraising opportunity.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But for that reason, there's many more options for people to choose from nowadays. I don't know the numbers. I maybe we need to look that up. How many races nationwide there were 20 years ago of all distances versus today?
Yeah, it would be
interesting. I guarantee it's, I would think it's at least doubled, if not maybe tripled, because on any given weekend around here, there's four or five within driving distance.
A lot. Yep, for sure. Yeah.
And that wasn't the case 20 years ago.
We just did a Friday evening color run in Cahuta. I mean, you know, and there were, gosh, there were over 100 people in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And when we did our 5K a few weeks ago, I think there were three other races right around
us. That's right, right at the same time. So. Yeah.
It makes it challenging as a race director, but it's great for the running community.
Yeah,
to have that many options to choose from.
But at the same time, they do the same thing in England. I mean, in England they have park run, right? So they've got these free races that they put on there.
But
so you've
it's
got
the
options.
London Marathon. I mean,
Yeah, the Boston, I think, peaked a few before COVID. I think Boston had peaked where you had to beat the time you have to run, what am I thinking?
Your qualifying time.
Your qualifying time, yeah. Your BQ.
Yeah.
You had to beat it by like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to get in, and I think it's back down to if you're under the time, you're probably getting in.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, it's time for another story from one of our favorites. Apparently, Jerry Snyder ran into a guy during a marathon once, and this is the story of what happened. And it won't surprise you. If you listen to this podcast and you listen to Jerry, this is not going to surprise you at all. It's called, Did He Really Say That? Keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great make you feel that you, too, can become great. That comes from Mark Twain. June 6th, 1992, South Bend, Indiana, I'm grinding my way through a marathon race, 26.2 miles. Slowing down for a water stop, another runner accidentally bumps into me. He apologizes, and I give him a thumbs up. My coach doesn't think I can finish this race, he said. As we pick up the pace, I asked, Did he really say that? Yes. Then he has no business being your coach. Run with me, I told him. At this point, I had been an avid runner for 6 years. I felt qualified to offer some advice. I'm 40 years old, supposed to be growing wiser with each passing birthday. My new running partner is a high school athlete running his first marathon. Our adventure together has begun at mile 18. Did your coach ever run a marathon? I asked. No, he never did, my new friend answered. Then forget about him and listen to me, I said. Have you ever been stung by a bee? I asked. Yes, he answered. Pay attention now, I continue. If a group of engineers were looking at a blueprint of a bee, they would say it couldn't fly. Its body is too big and its wings are too small. But here's the important news. No one bothered to tell the bee it couldn't fly, so it flies anyway, because it believes it can. It doesn't matter what your coach or 100 other people say. The only voice you need to listen to is your own. We completed another 2 miles before I decided to ask another question. Do you know what the fastest healing part of your body is? There was a long pause. The part of your body that heals the fastest is your tongue, and it's also the part that can do the most damage in the first place. what you say to yourself or what you believe that others say to you. We slowed down to take in some water and an energy gel. Be sure your coach gets a good look at your finish medal, I said. We only had a mile to go. Now give it all you've got, I told him. He took off like a rocket. I didn't think I would ever see him again, but to my great surprise, he was waiting for me at the finish line. Wearing his medal and a big smile, he reached out to shake my hand. All these years later, I'm still running marathons, and I think about him now and then. Does he still have that medal? Does he remember me? Does he remember what I told him? I hope so.
That's a great story. And so, Jerry.
Yeah.
Just to the point, weaves in humor, but it really packs a punch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many, I call them hope stealers.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, we run into those people a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
we do.
Always talking about why you can't do something rather than why you can do something. And yeah, I'm like Jerry, I love proving those people wrong.
Yep, yep. You know, I'm a little jealous of people who have the opportunity to do this, because most of the time when I'm running a marathon, I'm very serious about trying to maximize my time and my performance. And you don't get the opportunity to do this when you're doing that. And these are great stories and great opportunities. And I've been a pacer for some marathons, and where I did get the chance to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun to try to help somebody else reach their goal. So, and kudos to him for doing that. You know, back in 1952, that's a long time ago now. That's over 70 years ago. Norman Vincent Peale wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And,
was that book really written back then?
Can you imagine? It doesn't seem like
no.
it, but I mean, it's still true today. And the thing I see today, I see a little bit too much of people saying you can think yourself to a big goal. Well, you can't. You still got to do the
work.
But if you have the wrong thinking, it can disqualify. You can disqualify yourself from that big thing. Right?
Sure.
So you can't really talk your way into the big thing, but you can disqualify yourself from doing the big thing.
Sure.
And so I think that's important to look at it that way. I don't know who this coach is, but a guy who's coaching somebody and telling people you can't do this. Now, I will say this. I want to put one caveat in here, because I have told athletes, I didn't think you could do something.
Especially when they're young.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're so full of themselves usually.
Yeah.
When you say, I don't think you can do that. Because we would do that.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was joking.
Right.
But they would take it and like, oh, yes, I can. Well, let's see it.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think you do that with adult athletes. That's a little different.
I don't know. Depending on the adult athlete, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes me think about the idea that this guy, he gets his medal and he's happy and he's smiling about it. And he goes and shows his coach, and his coach, you know, I can imagine on the inside him saying, just smiling really big on the outside and just acting like he's so surprised from the outside. I don't know what happened there, but it was that. I think that's an interesting thought about this whole thing. I hope there's no coach out there actually telling
I'm sure there is.
That you can't
sure
do
is.
It. Unless it's something that, you know, that a guy could have an injury or something where he's concerned he doesn't really want him to go out and do it because he thinks it's going to be really bad for him.
No, I just think there's people out there that are hope stealers, dream killers.
There are definitely those.
Yeah.
But, man, they have no business being a coach if they are.
Yeah.
I mean, but you're right. There are those.
Yeah.
Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. You know, God wants us to look outward. Jerry had a great opportunity here to bless somebody else. He could have easily just run by him. And of course, you know, this guy initiated things, I guess, by making the comment that he did and kind of invited Jerry in. Mm-hmm. But how often do we hear that comment and we just move on, right? Mm. Especially from a spiritual standpoint, we hear somebody who it almost sounds like they're almost begging to talk about spiritual things, and we're in a hurry, so we move on instead of taking the time to talk to them about those things. It's hats off to Jerry for taking that time to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, Proverbs, I mean, we're actually going through it right now as a family, and it's one of those chapters. Gosh, you can read Proverbs. It's 31 chapters, so you can read a it's one of those books. I'm sorry, that you can read a chapter every day. You can do it in a month. And then you can read it again the very next month. And it says something completely different. That's where the living word really sticks out to me is books like Proverbs. Because, you know, I've gone through Proverbs many times now. And right now I'm looking at this and we're at chapter 28, 29 right now. So it hadn't been that many days ago when we did 11:25. That hits me completely different because I'm putting it in the context of encouragement now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to be positive to people. Now, I'm not saying, you know, prosperity gospel, all that kind of garbage, but just be positive. Yeah. Be a light in somebody's life and not the dark, you know, dream killer.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything.
Yep, for sure.
Maybe it costs you some pride, which I think is where a lot of people get hung up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I don't know where this coach was, but, you know, you have some coaches that I have a feeling that, you know, if they're one of those competitive coaches, well, I don't want my student getting faster than me. You know, you got some of that going on sometimes. Just be a light to people.
I have the picture of me and Lane behind my desk at the house because I love that picture because that was the day the student it was easy for him to beat me. And that picture, that's the one I got is of the record. The other picture, the one I actually was thinking about, was after the first time he beat me.
Yeah.
And I was just giving him a hug because I was just so proud of him.
Yeah.
And I don't understand because it's so much fun to be encouraging to people. Yeah. Gosh, I'll never forget being a marathon pacer several years ago. And I've got lots of pacer stories and I've only paced maybe 4 or 5 marathons. But this one lady who, she was kind of running above her. She was running faster than she should have been running.
Right.
But she was like, well, I'm going to try to stay with you as long as I can. And she wound up running the PR by like 10 minutes and went in the master's division. And the smile on her face at the end of that race. And all I did during that whole thing was just try to keep encouraging her. Just don't give up. Come on, hang in there. Just get another mile in. Hang with me for one more mile. And she didn't quite hang with me to the finish line, but it was close. And gosh, she was just so happy. And now I look back on that time, and I'm sure she looks back on it fondly too, but I don't know that she got any more out of that than I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ever since I did that last couple of miles with Jerry down in Gulf Shores, I've kind of kicked around the idea. I think it would be cool to be a sweeper. Because, you know, a pacer, I've never paced before. I've ran with pacers before. But it's got to be hard as a pacer to have somebody like the lady you're talking about, and they start falling off in the last few miles, and you can't stay back and encourage them.
Yeah.
You have a job to do as a pacer, and that's to run that time. And so that's got to be hard. To me, the sweeper is much more satisfying because it's just, I'm getting you to the finish line.
I'm sure. Yeah, you're probably right. And it is painful to watch them drop off one at a time.
Because I've been the guy dropping off before.
Yeah.
Sadly. Well,
and in the end, the pacers typically finish by themselves most of the time because either they felt really good for that last mile, so they take off and they pull ahead, or they've dropped off. And so by the time you get to the finish line, you're alone.
Was it – I'm trying to remember. I'm thinking, did we run part of the Chickamauga Battlefield?
We did. And you were running the half marathon. I was running the marathon.
Yeah, and you were peeling off at a certain point, but I ran way over my head for the first part. And then as soon as you pulled off to go to the full, I was like, I was done. I was like, dadgummit, Dean.
I remember that.
But yeah, it's encouraging people is always better.
Yeah.
It's always better.
Another one from Proverbs 13. This one comes from Proverbs 13:3. Those who control their tongue will have a long life.
Boy, that's so true.
This one hurts, Jerry. this is only part of the verse. The second part of the verse says, he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin.
Yeah.
You know, I was recently watching a rerun, Andy Griffith. And you know all the Andy Griffith episodes, so I know you've seen this one, where Barney is left in charge. Andy's going to some big court case, and he's going out of town, and so he has to leave Barney in charge. And of course, Barney's like,
goes off the rails
so seriously. Well, Andy comes back in town; everything's quiet. And he's like, wow, this is great. Man, you did such a good job, Barney. Everything is so quiet. And then he walks in the jail, and there's a ruckus in there because he's thrown everybody in jail. Yeah. And that's why town is so quiet. But then what happens is you find out, of course, he's overreacted to a lot of different things, and he's thrown people in jail for nothing. And, of course, he wasn't the justice of the peace. He was only sworn in as sheriff, so he couldn't do the justice of the peace part and adjudicate these things. And so that's what Andy does, and he lets all of them out. And then they all start making fun of Barney for overreacting to things. And it gets under Barney's skin. He gets his feelings hurt because of that. But then, of course, in the end, and this is the important thing, right? Because we all do that, I think. We're all that dream stealer every once in a while. Because we don't mean anything by it, but sometimes we do it inadvertently. But in the end, what those people realized was when Andy starts, you know, how Andy is, he's so conniving, and he says, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to let him go. I can't have a deputy who's the laughingstock of the town. And then everybody's like, that's not what we want to happen. So they all go and they turn themselves back in and put themselves in jail because they're like, you know what, Barney, you're right.
Yeah.
And it just makes Barney, and it builds Barney up. And it's a great example of how sometimes when we do mess up, we can go back and fix it a lot of times.
And sometimes that's the most effective way. And it's how I'm convinced that God uses even what we mess up to his good. Because, you know, I always come back when we're talking about this type of thing, that time that you were running and you said something you shouldn't have to somebody who had a dog that was coming after you.
Yeah.
But the fact that you went back, that guy, I don't know who that guy was. I don't know if he goes to church or whatever. But the fact that you did that spoke volumes, because people fly off the handle all the time. But almost nobody comes back and rectifies it and says, you know, I was wrong. Sometimes coming back and saying I was wrong is way more effective than not flying off the handle in the first place. Now, that's not saying we should fly off the handle.
Right.
But it's saying when we do have a lapse in judgment, we can turn that into something good.
Yeah.
Again, that's not excusing the lapse of judgment.
Right.
But it's making good out of bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others." Mm. Again, hard.
Yeah.
That's very hard. Jerry's just stomping all over my toes today. Because the truth is our world seems more polarized today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't know if it's fair to say than ever, but certainly in a long time. And our goal should be to build others up. But here's this. I think this is important too, though. We don't need to build others up in a false way either.
Sure.
And I think that's really important, because I remember one time when I was coaching at the college. And the ladies had a really good workout. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the workout, I said, man, I think that may be the best workout you guys have ever had. Mm. And one of them said, you say that all the time.
Mm.
And I was like,
man, that's like a dagger.
It really is. Yeah. Because at that point, I had said it a few other times.
Yeah.
And so that was their perception. So what did that mean? Well, that meant that what I said to them didn't really mean anything at that point. So you have to be careful not to just, and again, the other thing is too, not telling somebody, don't tell somebody they did a good job if they didn't do a good job.
Sure.
Nothing drives me crazier than to hear somebody tell me I had a great race when I didn't.
So are you saying I shouldn't say good job, Dean, at the end of every podcast?
Yeah, probably.
Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
I'm going to keep saying it. But no, I mean, your point's dead on, and it's, you know, we were having our nightly bedtime debates, discussions, all things biblical, a few weeks ago. And I'm not going to get into the topic, but a topic got brought up, a doctrinal topic, what's the word I'm looking for? Doctrines.
Yeah.
And I just made this statement. I just don't buy into that. And man, God's conviction was swift and harsh. And it's because I've always told my kids, don't just say something because everybody else says it. If you make a statement and you stand on that statement, be ready to answer the question, Why? And when I made that statement for this particular issue, I knew a little bit, but I didn't know near enough to make that statement.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we got all this garbage going on at college campuses right now.
Yeah.
And they're going up and they're sticking microphones in front of these kids' faces and saying, hey, why are you doing what you're doing? They can't. I think our society's full of that right now. Nobody knows why. So I sat into a month-long journey of learning why I believe what I believe about this particular doctrine. And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. It's don't tear people down. Don't unwarranted build people up. And then don't make absolute statements about things that you don't really know absolute about.
Yeah.
And it's all about our tongue. And that's where I do get comfort and conviction is because, I mean, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, you know, I'm a hypocrite, number one.
Yeah.
I really don't know what I'm talking about here, number two, and I need to. So in the end, my opinion didn't change. But now I have, if somebody says, well, why do you think that way? Well, let me break out 72 pages of notes I've got now and let's talk about it. But I mean, we're just we're a very flippant society with our words, and I'm the king of them, you know. So, thanks, Jerry, for bringing on the conviction this Thursday morning.
Here's a question: what can you say to someone who is struggling in a race?
I still, when I see that question, I'll never forget the guy that I come up to encouraging. It was in a triathlon. This guy was just struggling mightily. And I come up beside him. And I said, good job, buddy. I said, keep it up. And he said, and he used some explicit language, but he said, there's a guy with no legs running this race. What is my excuse? And I thought, dead on, buddy. I mean, he was, gosh, you could tell he would have walked off that course. And there really was. It was Scott Rigsby in that race, who's a double amputee. And, but, yeah, I mean, an encouraging word. You know, never say, well, the finish line's just right up there, because that's very subjective. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We all know that. But I don't know. I don't know why that stuck out to me when I read that.
That's good stuff, yeah. Yeah, I think it depends on why. The word struggling could mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It could just mean, I mean, you know me, I'm always, when I see somebody start to struggle in a race, my first reaction is you need to relax because you're getting, you can see the tension build up. And that tension is there because they're starting to struggle. And so that's the very first point where you start to struggle. But when it gets later, I mean, I'm about to do this 100 miler, you know, if I'm at 65 miles, and I feel like, I don't know how I'm going to possibly go another 35 miles. I don't know what somebody can say to me. You know what I mean? Because at that point, that's a whole different level of struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just trying to be positive about things. You know, a lot of times if I'm out on a cross-country course, you know, you may, or a road race course, and I'm out there kind of cheering for somebody, maybe I'm telling them, you know, well, this is the last hill, or there's usually some positive spin you can put on something in a way that means here's the thing that I think about. You don't want to, like you said, you don't want to minimize what somebody's going through and make it sound like this is no big deal, right? Because nobody wants to hear that. But what you do want to do is you want to tell them why they're tough enough to overcome that bad feeling they have. You know, it's don't say, oh, you're not struggling near as bad as you think, but hey, you're tough enough to handle the struggling you're going through right now.
Think about the last time you did this in training.
Yeah. You
know, take them back to somewhere where they did overcome it.
That's right. Yeah. A second question: how do you respond to naysayers? This one's easy for me. I mean, there's a song from the group Train, and it's called Words, and these are the words to the song. It says, words, they try to shake you. Don't let them break you or stop your world from turning. When words keep you from feeling good, use them as firewood and let them burn. And I just love that because it's like, that's You want me to do something? I'm like that guy we were talking about a little while ago. Just tell me I can't do it. I'll be like, oh yeah, watch this.
See, I think I've evolved here over the years. You know what I typically say when somebody says something that is negative and dream killing? And I typically say, you know, you're probably right. Talk about getting under their skin. Because, I mean, they want a debate. I mean, when somebody's being negative like that, they want to tell you all the reasons that you can't do it.
Yeah.
And you just steal their thunder when you say, you know, you're probably right. And then you go out there and you prove them wrong. But yeah. You weren't boastful. You weren't cocky. You weren't arrogant. You know, you agreed with them and then you just proved them wrong.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and then then if you don't do whatever, then you agreed with them.
Yeah.
So yeah. You steal their thunder all the way around.
Yeah. I know for me, the thing, if I can ever get the feeling of what it's going to feel like to accomplish the thing I'm in the middle of, that always helps me to get through with it. So let's say I'm running a 10K and I'm struggling at mile 4 and I'm just barely holding on. Well, my mind is going to say, you'll be really mad at yourself if you let up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to keep going after it or you'll be mad at you. And that makes a big difference in my struggles.
Sure.
Yeah. I was thinking about Joseph here. You know, when a lot of times people, they say negative things and they do, or they do negative things. It's funny how God can use those negative things to help us. And that's why I say I like to use that to fire me up. You know, Joseph, when his brothers came to him and said, you know, he said to them, you meant what you did to me, all those terrible things you did to me, you meant for evil.
Mm-hmm.
But God meant it for good.
Sure.
And what a great way to turn that whole thing on its head, right? Yeah, there's ways we can handle it way more positively than we do sometimes. Last question, who have you encouraged today? Well, I hope we're doing that with this podcast.
Yeah.
I hope there's somebody out there who feels encouraged by this podcast. Yeah, you know, we can look for this too out in the world. We talk about it in the context of running and other things, but last week I was at a softball game. My granddaughter was playing. And there was an umpire. They were supposed to have two umpires on the field. They only had one. And this guy was running his guts out every play. 9 and 10-year-old girls, right? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, if he just kind of laid back because he was the only guy there, nobody would have thought anything bad about it. But this guy was taking pride in what he was doing, and he was doing the best he possibly could and taking pride in that. And I pulled him over in between innings, and I said, hey, man, I just want you to know, I'm seeing you hustle out there, and I appreciate you giving so much effort to these girls. And, you know, the guy, he just said thank you, but he turned around, and then that following inning, he worked even harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing what we can do when we're just encouraged a little bit.
Yeah, and I think the most powerful way to encourage people sometimes is with grace. And it's kind of what you were doing there. You know, umpires, they have no easy job.
Right.
And I say that because this just happened. I don't think I even told you this story. You knew what was going on, but you haven't heard about the end of this story. But out at the church property, we've been having a problem with, you know, it's 70 acres of beautiful pasture and cross-country trail. We've been having a problem with somebody coming out there and doing donuts and just ripping the fields up and just doing a lot of destruction. And so Jake Brooker, who lives on the property, who I go to church with, he had told me that he was going to put some cameras up out there, but, you know, just kind of keep it on the down low. Don't anybody know. Well, last week he sends me this picture of a pickup truck. It's not a picture. It's a video caught in the act. I mean, out there, broad daylight too. That's what blew my mind. I thought it was going to be at night, but broad daylight. And, the truck was pulling out and he had a still of it and you could see the kind of truck it is. You could see somebody in the driver's seat and you could see a flat bill hat. And it was kind of a jacked up Toyota pickup truck. And I thought, well, that's a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it was the middle of the day. So that kind of had me trying to figure out, well, we were just going to kind of keep an eye out. 'Cause that truck is obviously, they live around there pretty close.
Yeah.
Well, Jake goes to Ace Hardware. I probably shouldn't be saying too much. He went to a store around here, and he saw the truck there. And so he went in and just kind of was being nonchalant, but he figured out who owned the truck.
Yeah.
And figured out the kid's name. And so he called me, and he said, "Hey, this is who it is. What do you want to do about it?" And I said, let's just go confront him, you know. And so Jake and I met up. We found out the boy was working. I think it was Monday afternoon. And so Jake and I, we walk in, and we're like, I mean, we knew, I know several people in the store, but they had to think, what are they doing? I mean, they know we're not going to steal stuff, but we were just acting weird because we were walking back and forth just trying to find this kid.
Yeah.
And so we walked outside and looked around. Well, we come back in, and so we see this kid over by the grills. And I walked up. I said, "Hey, buddy, you care to tell us something about this grill over here?" You know, trying to get him off in the corner because I didn't want to raise – I didn't want his boss to know, you know. I just – so he come over, and he's like, "Oh, man, I really don't know anything about these grills." And I said, "Well, I'm not really asking about these grills anyway." And he kind of looked at me, and I said, "Now, I don't want to get the police involved." And, man, as soon as I said that, you could tell everything he's done for the past 12 months is going through his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, "I don't want to get your parents involved, and I don't want to get your boss involved." I said, and I looked at him, and I said his name. I said, "I know you've been out doing donuts, throwing garbage out, and tearing up the Grove Level property over here." And you could tell he was about to say, "Man, it wasn't me." But he knew. I mean, he knew.
Yeah.
We weren't there as speculating. We had all the goods on him.
Yeah.
And he just kind of dropped his shoulders, and he said, "Man, I will never do that again." And he said, "I'm so sorry." I said, "Well," I said, "that's all I want to hear, that you'll never do it again, and that you're going to go tell all your buddies to never do this again. Because if it happens again, I'm going to assume it's you." And I said, "That's all I need to hear." And we shook his hand, and we turned around to leave, and he goes, "Man, y'all don't want to look at something while you're here, like in the store?" And I said, "No." I said, "We came here to see you." And he said, "Thank you." I mean, just as sincere and respectful.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he was a teenager doing stupid stuff. Yep. And
who among us hasn't done something like that?
I'm pretty sure I did the exact same thing as him when I was young. But to me, and Jake and I talked about this when we left, showing him grace, he will never forget that.
Absolutely not.
And we could have went to the law, and I mean, he would have rebelled, and you know how it is, hot-tempered teenager.
Yep.
But it was encouraging rather than condemning. Taking a bad situation, and we hope we used it to shine the light of Christ. But
well, you gave him the opportunity to kind of change his mindset and the way he thinks about things.
I don't think he will ever do that again.
Right.
Honestly don't.
And hopefully it affects other areas of his life as well.
Sure.
Not just that, but other things that he does where he wonders, that thing came back.
And bit me. This other one might bite me harder.
You know?
So, I don't know.
What a great example.
Do you need something to keep you motivated and to keep fit both physically and spiritually? Upward Sports Run for God Run Club has just what you need to keep you on track for both. Check out runforgod.com and join us today for pennies a day. You won't regret it.
All right, so I found this article from Canadian Running. It says, "Why it's never too late to take up running." And it says, "You'll benefit from running no matter when you get started, and you may well catch up to your more seasoned peers in terms of body composition and muscle mass." It's a pretty cool study. Comes from Frontiers in Physiology. They took 150 seasoned endurance athletes with an average age of 68. They put them into two groups. They had, some of them were lifetime athletes who had been doing this their whole lives, and then they had others who started at least around age 50 or later running. And what they found out, and they also had a sedentary group for control. So it was a well-done study. And in the end of the study, they found that both groups had very similar body composition. So it didn't matter whether you started running when you were 20 and did it all the way through your 70s, or you started when you were 50 and you were still doing it at 70. You still got the same benefits from it, basically, from a body composition standpoint. You know, we always say, you know, the best time to start
was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, but the next best time's right now.
Yeah.
And so this shows that just getting started, no matter what you do.
We always make the statement, it's never too late to start. Well, now it's scientific.
That's right. That's right. We have some evidence to back us up.
That's a study I do like, Dean.
Yeah.
Good job.
And then, the study also apparently confirmed that there's no detrimental effect on your knees, your bones, your soft tissues, all of those things that we hear all that other stuff about, which we have heard.
How do you typically deal with that? If you're just out, because I've struggled with how to handle this, because you don't want to just start a debate with somebody. But at the same time, you don't want to say, oh, I understand. You know, if you're just out and about and somebody makes the comments, well, I used to run, but it's just really hard on your knees nowadays.
Yeah.
Do you just kind of let it go, or do you push back a little bit or a lot?
It depends. I don't push back as hard as I used to. Yeah. I used to be just really direct and in their face about it. I don't do that anymore. But I kind of indicate, well, it's not really what it says. And then if they act like maybe they want to hear a little bit more, I'll say a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I make it clear to them that I don't think that's true. Not that I don't think it's true that you have a problem, but that I don't think it's true that it's bad for you.
A blanket statement.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because a lot of times people say, well, if they say, my knees are shot because of all the running I did, I'm not going to argue with them and say it's probably not the running that did it.
Right. Because some people legitimately have knee issues. I mean, Holly's probably due for a knee replacement anytime.
And they have real problems. Now, was it running that did it? Probably not. Running may have exacerbated a problem that they had, but it probably wasn't the running that caused it.
You may not be able to run because you have knee problems, but you don't have knee problems most likely because you ran.
Great way to put it.
True.
Great way to put it. So if you're an older person, you haven't started yet, but you've thought about it, go ahead and get started.
Give George a call.
Absolutely. Yeah, give George a call.
Or George wasn't even the oldest one at this past. What was the guy's
That's
name?
That's right. It was... Parker? No, not Parker. I can't remember his name now. Now it's driving me nuts.
We'll find it before the end of the podcast.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's a time for Dean's Thoughts. That's a time when I share something that I've written about the intersection between running and faith. Well, do you hate gnats? I think everybody does. I lived in South Georgia where they're really bad, but I probably don't hate them as much as many. Why? Well, because I don't let them bother me. This one is called Swatting Away the Gnats. South Georgia is famous for pine trees, azaleas, and peanuts. If you're a golf fan, you know how beautiful it can be to watch the Masters tournament that takes place just a little north of what I consider South Georgia. And most people know that President Jimmy Carter was from the heart of South Georgia, Plains, where the peanut is king. But that area of the country is known for something not so positive, too. Gnats. Somewhere around the middle of Georgia lies what we call the gnat line. At one time, I lived less than an hour from the Georgia-Florida line, so I'm very familiar with these pesky insects. Sometime around the transition from spring to summer, they show up for a month or so and drive us crazy. They fly around your head, land on your face, and sometimes even make their way into your mouth if you're not careful. And there's a gazillion of them. Pesky is a good description, but somehow falls short of just how irritating these creatures are. People who are not from South Georgia have a tough time with them, but many people who live there seem to handle them with no problem. They seem to not even notice that they're flying around their face. Why? Because they know that if they let the nuisance win, it will drive them crazy. So they ignore the bugs. If you're not from that part of the country, It is hard to understand how they do it. Now, you may ask, why in the world are you talking about bugs? Well, like so many other things in life, I think we can learn something from the way South Georgians react to those irritating monsters we call gnats. The uneasiness that comes from running is a little like those gnats. It is irritating, annoying, frustrating, even infuriating to deal with those little insects. Well, doesn't each of those words also describe the discomfort of a run? I think it does. So what can we learn from how the South Georgians deal with gnats that we can apply to our running discomfort? Well, first of all, it's important to realize that just because some people have the ability to tune out those pesky creatures doesn't mean they're not still there. The bugs are flying around their face just like yours, but they're choosing to react differently to them. They know there's nothing they can do to dissuade them from what they're doing. They swat at them all they want, but it will be to no avail. In other words, it is a waste of time and effort to do so. Once you accept that there is nothing you can do about them, you're halfway to being able to ignore them. The same goes for our running discomfort. It is going to be there, and there's nothing you can do to change it. Accept it, and you are halfway to being able to ignore it. Second, you can choose to stay indoors and mostly avoid being around gnats, but that is a terrible choice for your well-being. You need to do outdoor things, if for no other reason than you need vitamin D. Nobody who stays indoor all the time is living their best life, period. You need to go outside. The same goes for exercise in general and for running more specifically. You can choose not to do it, but you won't be living your best life if you're a couch potato. Finally, being able to look past an irritant like a gnat makes it easier to look past many other irritants. Being able to look past the discomfort of a run makes it easier to look past other things that are uncomfortable. By being able to look past the things that get in our way, we are able to follow through on things we want to accomplish. If we let the gnats bother us, it takes our focus off whatever else we're doing. If we let the discomfort from a run control us, then we miss the full benefit of that run. And that carries over into how we deal with that coworker who doesn't seem to like us or the traffic we will inevitably face during rush hour. Nehemiah had to swat some gnats away when he was busy rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 6:1-3 says, "But they thought to do me harm, so I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it to go down to you?'" The world is full of distractions, many of them directed by the one who wants to keep us from doing God's will. Nehemiah swatted away the gnats and kept working on God's plan. What a great example of who God wants us to be, focused on carrying out His will for our lives. Don't let a little discomfort during a run derail you. Learn to overcome it by pushing it to the back of your mind and treating it like the South Georgians treat the gnats. And don't let the evil one knock you off track with his distractions. Stay on the work God has put in front of you. Swat away any gnats that get in your way and keep going.
That's a great story, Dean. Okay, I argue that the gnat line has moved north over the years.
You think?
Because gnats are horrible around here. But you know what makes it hard to ignore them for me? Because I can ignore them. Mm-hmm. I can tune them out flying around my face. It's when they land on your eyeball.
Yep, and they do.
And you can't ignore it at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like, true. Especially some of the contacts. You know, I'm like, get out. I'll start. Anyway.
That's true.
Just a PSA announcement. Bill Silvers.
Yes.
86 Bill. Years old.
Yes, that's right.
I got Gay on the hot text right here.
Yeah.
86 years old.
Yeah.
It's never too late to start anything.
Bill's been to several of our races.
He has.
Bill sent me a bunch of encouraging stuff, too.
Yeah.
Good guy. Good guy, Bill. Well, I've lived in a couple of places where the gnats are bad. I lived in South Florida, and I'm telling you, I think the gnats in South Florida are far worse than they are in South Georgia.
So in South Florida, you get into, because we used to go down to the Keys some, and you get in the, what are they called, no-see-ums?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're like gnats that you can't hardly see, and they bite you.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's like a
double whammy.
You don't know what to swat because you really can't see it. That's why they call them no-see-ums.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess that falls in the gnat family, but
yeah, I guess they're gnats. I assume they're gnats.
Yeah. They bite. They hurt, too.
Yeah, they do. Well, this is another one of those things that's simple, right? Not easy, yeah. but simple.
Yeah.
You really can't ignore the gnats. And when you can get to that point, it's so liberating. Mm-hmm. It's so liberating to be able to stand there and not pay any attention to those things flying around your face. It's almost, you almost feel like you have a superpower when you do it. Mm-hmm. But I hear so many people say things like, I can't do whatever. I Absolute can't run statements. In the heat.
Yeah.
And they're just, those people a lot of times, and I'm not saying that running in the heat's not difficult, and it is, and it's more difficult for some than others, for sure. But if you're not willing to learn to try to ignore the gnats, i.e. the running in the heat, then you're never going to overcome it.
Well,
you're always going to struggle with it.
We just talked about dream killers.
Yeah.
And they're their own dream killer.
That's right.
They're
That's
their own worst enemy in that aspect. Change the vocabulary and it'll change your outlook. For
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I get a lot of email from people and just asking for advice and things. And very often I get emails from people kind of like this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be, you know, whatever it is, this is the thing I can't overcome. And it's like, don't email me and don't expect the truth, okay, first
right.
of all.
Because
yeah. now I'll do it in a nice way.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
But I'm going to tell you what I, you know, look, here's where you need to change your thinking, right. first of all. Now, you still have this thing to deal with, and we'll work on dealing with that, but you got to get to the point where you can look past the way you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And it can make all the difference for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and when you're truthful like that with people, you're not saying it as just like a platitude. You're saying it because you've seen other people do it. You've experienced
exactly.
yourself, and it's coming from it's the wisdom coming out, which is what we all need. Sometimes wisdom is hard to hear, but you're right. Don't ask for it. I've asked for advice before and I'm like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have asked. But it's the right advice.
Yes.
But it's hard to hear.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit like that guy that heard the guy you confronted at the store.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he didn't want to hear that somebody caught him doing something he wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
But he was glad that he heard it afterwards.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just got to keep in mind, you know, just like gnats, there's nothing you can do to get rid of them. Like, yeah. there's nothing you can do. You know, I lived in a little town in South Georgia that they came through, and once a week they came through with a truck and sprayed.
Yeah.
And they tried to do the best they could to get rid of them, and it helped.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get rid of them.
No.
And so you just got to learn to live with it, and you got to do the same thing with running discomfort. And I call it running discomfort, too, and not pain, because it's not pain.
Right.
I hear a lot of people do that, too. That's a mistake. If you're calling your running pain, your running discomfort pain, you're already escalating things to worse than they are.
Right. What is it I always say? It's people say I'm having a pain. I say, is it pain or soreness? Pain, you can put your finger on it.
Yeah.
And it's a very specific. Soreness is that throbbing, oh, I don't want to go run. Everything hurts. And that is usually a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just noticed on top of your head, you still got a. Still got a good scar from that.
Oh yeah,
bump on the trailer.
Yeah, I whacked it pretty good.
Yeah. You saw stars on that one, didn't you?
I did.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's all good.
Get us off track.
Well, I love the example of Nehemiah for this.
Yeah.
You know, I just get this picture of, you know, people down there at the bottom of a ladder telling him, "Hey, you know, you can't do this, right?" All the time, he's just continuously working, proving them wrong. I love that picture. Again, just like that song I was talking about before, use the words as firewood. When somebody tells you can't run a marathon, go, well, maybe I can't, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to try it and I'll get back to you.
Have you always wanted to read through the entire Bible but never found the time to do it? Well, let me do it for you. Sign up for the self-paced Bible in a Year Challenge and start listening today. Every day, I read a few chapters of the Bible and give you running or walking tips and encouraging quotes. You must be a Run Club member for access to this exciting challenge. So, if you're not a member, sign up today and get started. If you are a member, what are you waiting for?
Hey Every week I share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. And this week I thought, how many other activities can a grandmother and a granddaughter engage in together, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about how the 5K challenge classes range in age from 6 to 80 or whatever. But isn't it cool that a 15-year-old girl can run with her 60-year-old grandmother and they can enjoy it together?
Sure.
I mean, running really
There's not
is,
many things out there that you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a pretty cool thing. Because most things people just, they don't match up. Like, you know, like technically you could, a 15-year-old could knit with her 60-year-old grandma. You could do that. It's kind of, those are incongruent things. To me,
yeah, there's not many active things.
Yeah,
can do.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's a good
you know
one.
Basketball. There's
yeah, right.
All the sports, but running. Yeah, that's true.
Well, they held the Penn relays and the Drake relays and some other big meets this week, and man, I saw a video of a masters race. A guy named Bob Williamson ran 17.71 seconds for 100 meters. And you're like, yeah, so? And you're thinking, and it doesn't sound like it's very fast until you realize the guy's 86 years old.
Okay, Bill, if you're listening, Bill Silvers.
Yeah.
Bill's 86.
That's
so
right.
Here's your competition, Bill. Go after him.
And there was a 96-year-old guy in the same race, not too far behind him.
Wow.
So, yeah. Really cool to see that. So I love when they get these guys involved in these big races like the Penn Relays. I had a couple of 4x400 high school races that were super exciting. The Bullis School that's a school in I think it's in Baltimore, around Baltimore, a private school up there. And they're known for their 4x400 teams. And the girls just set the national record. And, of course, Jamaica comes in, and Jamaica wins this thing every year. They bring in a high school team every year that wins this 4x4 at the Penn Relays. It's like a tradition to them. They've done it every year for like 15 years in a row. And they came in, and, man, what a battle it was. I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder. Now, the Jamaicans wound up winning, but it was shoulder to shoulder on the girls' side. And then on the guys' side, the Bullis School has this kid. He's a sophomore now, okay? And he ran sub 45 for his leg of the 4x4 two times in the same day.
Wow.
That's incredible. Just the idea that any sophomore in high school could possibly get anywhere near sub 45 in one leg. And then to do it twice in the same day. Mm. And in the first one, I saw the video the first time he does it. His team, unfortunately, dropped the baton in both. Mm. Or I don't think they didn't drop the baton, they fell. You know, a lot of times in these races, it's really hard when they're coming in and handing off. People get tripped up. And apparently in both races, his team fell down. Well, in the qualifying race, the guy fell down. That's the one where he ran the fastest. The guy fell down, and he went from sixth to first on the final leg. And, you know, you're talking about the best teams in the country, basically, in the 4x4. And he just, I mean, and he didn't win by just a little bit either. I mean, when he went by the last guy with 100 meters left to go, he won that thing by 20 meters at least.
Wow.
And, man, it was inspiring to watch. So watch out for this guy because he's got a huge, huge future. And I can't remember his name now. I didn't write it down, and I can't remember his name. But they wound up finishing third in the final. Again, they probably would have won had it not been for the fact they fell down. So, but that was pretty cool thing to see in the Penn Relays, where the Penn Relays is really a college meet, but they do a lot of high school meets in with the college meets, and it's a big, huge festival weekend. It's pretty cool. Well, how about a trivia question for this week? I thought this would be a good one and appropriate for my time, at least at this point. What is the oldest ultra marathon in the world? So we know the oldest marathon is the Boston Marathon. We've asked that question before, but what is the oldest ultra marathon in the world? If you know the answer to that, you can send it to dean@runforgod.com. And if you are the first Run Club member to send in the correct answer, you will win $20 off in the Run for God store.
Give me a hint. Is it, give us all a hint, because I'm trying to think. Is it one that you would think of? Or are you going to have to dig?
If you are into ultra marathoning, you've heard of it for sure. It is one of the top five biggest ultra marathons in the world.
Okay.
Yeah, in the world. That's a key word. In the world. So.
That's a twist right there.
There you go. So, again, send that in. Let me know what you think. Our motivational thought of the week comes from Roy T. Bennett. He said, "Don't be pushed around by the fears in your mind. Be led by the dreams in your heart."
That's good.
Which one controls you? Your fears or your dreams? Mm. And of course, when the dreams are implanted by God, and then they're His will for your life, even better.
And typically those dreams will be countered by the evil one with fear.
Absolutely.
So know that.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, if you have never gone and rated our podcast, you need to do that. If you haven't shared it with somebody, think about somebody you can share it with. Make sure you you kind of boost boost this thing.
I mean, because the cool thing is we've never done advertising for this podcast.
That's right.
And yet it's grown like it has. So there's only one reason, and that's because people out there are sharing it and listening and telling others about it and rating it. And I don't know how all those algorithms work, but I know that everything you do with this podcast helps it.
That's right.
So give us the 5-star review. Give us the share, the like, the subscribe, you know, all the different things.
Yeah.
Definitely helps us, because that's how, if you want to help us, that's how you can do it.
That's how you can do it. And it's simple.
It is.
Pretty simple to do. All right. Until next time, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Bean.
For more information about the Run for God ministry, go to runforgod.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There's nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.